Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. And I want to shout out to all the new listeners. Each and every week during this coronavirus pandemic, as I like to call it, I'm getting all kinds of new listeners. And I just want to say we all have one thing in common. We want to know the truth. What's really going on out there in this scamdemic, as I like to call it. So welcome to the 450th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is The Coronavirus, Gates, Burks, and Fauci. The Unholy Trinity in this whole scam and conspiracy. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 9 says, And the Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So what's this mysterious coronavirus? This novel coronavirus? Bill Gates, Burks, Fauci, and the conspiracy all have in common? We got to hang on here, folks, to find out. So stay tuned as we pull back the covers to this incredible, I mean, I'm talking, it's beyond anything I've ever seen in my life or even read about in history, this scamdemic. Be right back. Okay. Now, before I get into
that trade-off you just mentioned, obviously the economic pain. What do you think the right?
Whoa, ma'am. Hold on. I'm not ready for you yet. Anyways, before we get into conspiracy and what the Bible teaches about this conspiracy, and in doing this, we're going to be able to pierce these blindfolds we have over our spiritual eyes. Don Harkins referred to them as the eight veils. And I alluded to them last week. Now we're going to look into it, okay? But first, I want to talk a little bit about these three conspirators, Gates, Burks, and Fauci. And before we do, I want to just update you on some of the strange out there with regard to the news in the coronavirus world. You know, there's a Nobel Prize winner out there who's saying that this entire scam, this plandemic, came from the lab, okay? This is a French virologist. His name is Professor Luc Montagnier, okay? And he's saying in research papers that are now being suppressed that the COVID-19 genome contained elements of HIV, malaria, and other linked or hybridized diseases that could only happen in a lab. This is a virologist, an expert on the matter. So it's an engineered biowarfare device. the preferred method used by China. Oh, by the way, researched here in the U.S. at Fort Detrick, paid for by the Obama administration, the Bush administration before Obama, the Clinton administration before Bush, and I can go back and back and back. So this isn't a party thing, folks, and the evidence is being covered up. Now, there's another paper out by The Guardian in London reporting that 8 more viral and epidemiology experts are questioning this entire panic with the coronavirus. You know, as they get more and more data and they're seeing that the mortality rate is down there around a common flu. And they've changed the dates on the common flu. So I want to look into the history of Birx, Fauci, and Gates, who all have an agenda. And by the way, their agenda has nothing at all to do with our health. You know, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, they have records of medical failure. In fact, Birx, back in the 90s, was involved in the military HIV vaccine team, along with Redfield or Redmond, the head of the CDC, and they were investigated. Major scientific fraud. Now, in my business, folks, you can't do that kind of thing. If you do, you lose all credibility and you lose your standing amongst your peers. And you essentially have no job. Only in the government can this happen. But before I get into more details on that, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about Bill Gates. Remember, he's a geek, and everybody just holds him up on a pedestal because he's a billionaire. He's a software geek that was targeted by the establishment to standardize all software on PCs because they wanted a back door into all of our computers, and you had to standardize all that. You know, back in the day, the best spreadsheet in the world was Lotus 1-2-3. Hands down the best. I used it at PPG when we got our first PC. I think it was an IBM 286, and we had to share it with another professional. We each got half a day on it, so you picked your morning shift or your afternoon shift. But the Lotus 1-2-3 software was by far the best. Yet we get an edict from corporate that we all have to convert over to this software called Excel. How do you think that all happened and why? The same reason you see Facebook, the same reason you see Amazon, the same reason you see CNN. You see all of these businesses spring out because they're funded by the establishment, in many cases the CIA. But what I want to do right now is talk a little bit about Gates. But first, listen to this interview. He's being interviewed by the Financial Times. Okay, and they're talking about the COVID-19 vaccine. Just listen to what he's saying. And oh, by the way, if you watch the video and if you want to see it, send me an email and I'll get a link to you. He's just stating, he's like using his hands like some crazy man. And folks, I'm telling you, he's not qualified in an accredited fashion to even speak on these matters. Just listen to him. It's sick. I'm telling you, absolutely sick.
And what about that trade-off? You just mentioned, obviously, the economic pain. What do you think the right balance is between the trade-off of protecting people's lives and the economic hit? I mean, do you see a situation where the global economy could be virtually at a standstill for a year or even more?
Well, it won't go to zero, but it will shrink. Global GDP is going to take, probably the biggest hit ever. You know, maybe the Depression was worse or 1873. I don't know. But in my lifetime, this will be the greatest economic hit. But you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected. You know, it's not the government who's saying, okay, just ignore this disease. And, you know, people are deeply affected by seeing these deaths, by knowing they could be part of the transmission chain, and you know, old people, their parents, their grandparents could be affected by this. And so you don't get to say, ignore what's going on here. there will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. And so, you know, although there's a lot of work on testing, a lot of work on drugs that we're involved with, you know, trying to achieve that ambitious goal, which has never been done for the vaccine, that rises to the top of the list.
Did you hear that? The vaccine is going to solve it all. Yet there are scientists out there warning us that this this new type of vaccine isn't going to work. And he's saying that people don't want to go to stadiums. The last time I checked, we're being forced to stay in their homes by a dictatorial government. You know, a lot of the old timers, even people with early onset dementia, are saying things like, this sounds like dictatorship. Folks, they know, because they grew up in a free society. And even in their impaired mental state, they can see what's going on. It's sick, folks. So Bill Gates goes on to say in another article that the flu vaccine isn't as effective in the elderly. And that COVID-19 vaccines will have to be different. Well, they are different. In a huge way, in the Epoch Times, okay, there's an article that talks about this flu vaccine, and these are in the words of Bill Gates, as not being effective in the elderly. In fact, flu vaccines, if you correlate to the people that had the flu vaccine, more people with the flu vaccine are getting COVID-19 than people who didn't have any, because their immune system's compromised by these flu vaccines. And then these ideas behind this COVID-19 vaccine are so radically new. It's actually involving DNA modification. Did you hear what I said? DNA modification. Can't believe it. It's beyond my ability to my head around it. I can't do it. You know, Gates goes on and says that governments will have to be involved because there's risk and they need to be indemnified. So governments are going to have to back up the liability on this thing. It's beyond me, folks. I can't even begin to get my head around it. I can't do it. So I'm puzzled by it. I don't know what to say. There's another article out in the National File, titled The Dark Truth About Fauci and Burks, Bill Gates, and the Globalistic Elite. And it's another one of those things where you read it and you just can't believe it's out there and it's documented. And it's even taken from some clips that these people spoke in the past. Back in 2017, Dr. Fauci had the nerve to speak at a conference and say publicly that during the Trump administration, President Trump will have to deal with a plan. Did I call it a plandemic? Oh, boy. He'll have to deal with an epidemic. And here we are in 2000. And what are we dealing with? Whether it's real or not, we are dealing with an epidemic. And it's one of epic proportions. It truly is. So, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I had a clip I wanted to play on that, but it didn't come up. And then I mentioned to you that the CDC director and Dr. Burks were involved in scientific fraud and misconduct. They fabricated, falsified. You don't do that as a scientist, folks. AIDS and HIV vaccine trials. This was an article out of the True Pundit, and it's there. And we trust her today as the coordinator for the White House task force. You know, Dr. Burks, Dr. Fauci, they all have connections with the Clinton Foundation. And there's all sorts of conflict of interest. You know, out of these WikiLeaks documents from the Clinton server, there are emails where Dr. Fauci was emailing Secretary of State Clinton referring to her as his hero. He loves the Clintons. He loves the Clinton plan. And Burks is of the same ilk. These are deep state operatives whose careers have been major epic flops. Yet they're in there. They're in there helping make these decisions. And then the Gates Foundation, in another article under sciencealert.com, says we'll need to work together to vaccinate 7 billion people. This is Mr. Gates, Mr. Bill Gates, the computer geek, the rich computer geek, who funnels more money to the WHO than any other entity, his foundation, except the United States government. Gates funnels more money per annum, WHO, than China does. And then he has the nerve on a recent interview with Ellen DeGeneres, to say the economy won't reopen until we have this phenomenal vaccine. And that's his words, folks, not mine. And then he donates hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to private companies. And I'm not talking little companies. I'm talking major big pharma. Now, why do you think he's doing that? And then things just continue to get stranger and stranger. This week here in Western PA, our governor, Wolf, who a lot of people are signing petitions now to have this man impeached, and I'm going to share something with you on that. But we have to wear masks in all the stores now, and I want to talk about that a little bit later into the message. But I had to go into the local lumber store the other day to pick up some concrete sealer. We're spending a lot of time fixing things up around the house during all this. And I had my mask on. And I'm standing there waiting because they have a head count. And this lady's spraying a little leaf sprayer plant, one of those plant misters, on the handles of all the shopping carts. She's not wiping them off or anything. She's doing her little duty. And she says, okay, you can go. So I start walking over towards the paint and coating section to pick up my driveway sealer. It comes in those big 5-gallon cans, actually a 6-gallon can, because they give you a free gallon. So anyways, I was going to carry it up to the register and pay, and she starts screaming at me, sir, get back here. You didn't take a cart. And I said, but I don't want a cart. I can't use a cart. And she says, but everyone has to take a cart. It was crazy. Now, I said, but ma'am, I can't use a cart. She goes, you have to take a cart. I said, but I don't want a cart. And this went on and on. And then two people were walking up from the back. One didn't even have his mask on. I said, those people don't have a cart. And she looked around the corner and she said, but they're employees. And I said, so they don't have to social distance or even wear their masks. And then she said, get out of here. I said, well, if I leave, my money leaves too. We don't want your money. Get out of here. And then the people clapped. And I thought they were clapping at me at first. No, they were glad I got out of there. And then one of the customers followed me out and told me I'm going to kill people because I'm not using a cart. Can you believe this, folks? So I shared the story at work, and it reminded someone of a Seinfeld episode where Kramer was in an AIDS march. Isn't that something, too, an AIDS march? Listen to this. It's exactly what happened to me. I'll play about a minute of this clip.
Okay, you're checked in?
Yeah, thank you.
Here's your AIDS ribbon.
No, thanks.
You don't want to wear an AIDS ribbon?
No.
But you have to wear an AIDS ribbon.
I have to?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't want to.
But everyone wears the ribbon. You must wear the ribbon.
What you are? You're a ribbon bully.
Hey, you, come back here. Come back here and put this on.
Hey, where's your ribbon? Oh, I don't wear them.
You don't wear the ribbon? Aren't you against AIDS?
Yeah, I'm against AIDS. I mean, I'm walking, aren't I? I don't wear the ribbon.
Who do you think you are?
Put the ribbon on.
Hey, Cedric, Bob, this guy won't wear a ribbon.
Who? Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon? So, what's it going to be? Are you going to wear the ribbon?
No, never.
But I'm wearing the ribbon. He's wearing the ribbon. We are all wearing the ribbon. So why aren't you going to wear the ribbon?
This is America. I don't have to wear anything I don't want to wear.
What are we going to do with him?
I think we get the point there. He said it all. When Kramer said, this is America. work. I don't have to wear what I don't want to wear. And I don't have to use a cart, folks, if I don't want to use a cart. People are going around saying this is the law. It's not a law. It's a mandate, an unconstitutional mandate from the governors. And it's sick. And we have to stand up as a people and say no more. No more. Yet we don't do it. Folks, it's not about health. They say they care about our health. But for every 1,000 times you hear something about the vaccine or potential vaccines or social distancing by the media or hygiene, you know, it's actually bad to wash your hands that much. There's about maybe one mention per 1,000 about effective defenses against viruses in general. You know, we have this thing called our God-given, God-created immune system. And what it does is it naturally acquires immunities to all sorts of disease that can attack our bodies. Yet the mainstream media even fails to correlate these disproportionate numbers of coronavirus deaths to people with compromised immune systems. I don't care if you're 35 or you're 95. You know, there are some people in their 90s that have biological bodies that are in their 60s because they eat right, never had vaccines, have a very healthy immune system. And 30-year-olds on a diet of junk food and getting chemotherapy because they have some sort of disorder. And a lot of times, did you know chemotherapy is now being used for a lot of different things that have nothing to do with cancer? They're even using chemotherapy in certain disorders for involving the skin. Compromise your immune system to put a Band-Aid over whatever is drawing in the histamines and causing the allergic reaction in your body because you're poisoned. And then these people with compromised immune systems in their 30s are dying from COVID-19, and yet the media doesn't talk about it. You know, folks, 300 milligrams of vitamin C a day, and if you can get liposomal, it's even better, but it's really hard to find. You need a good liposomal vitamin C, like Live On Labs. A good B-complex vitamin, 15,000 units of vitamin D3 each day, and you're going to do wonders to boost your immune system. And then you can start to get some other things in there. If you're interested, I'll share it with you. We use this for Terry to beat cancer. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God and his good creation, Terry and her incredible immune system destroyed stage 3 colorectal cancer. And she had what was referred to as a complete response with no need for surgery and resectioning. But you know what, folks? There's no money in that. And that's why the establishment's trying to outlaw nutritional supplements. Did you know that? They have a codex bill that's trying to be standardized internationally. And they're going to make things like vitamin C prescription only. And then listen to this front page headline in our local paper. This is the April 24th Tribune Review front page. This is our Governor Wolf. He says data is not only factor that's going to be considered when reopening the state of Pennsylvania. Subjective decisions will have to be made, the governor says. Okay, we know what subjective is. We know what objective is. So subjectivity has a certain degree of bias to us, whereas objectivity, provided one's being academically honest, is all based on the facts. Listen to this direct quote from Dictator Wolf. We're going to have to make subjective decisions. Now get ready for this. As objectively as possible, he said. Let me read that one more time. We're going to have to make subjective decisions as objectively as possible, he said. And this is in reference to opening the state of Pennsylvania. Can you believe this? It's a laughable joke. Think about what we've been done, what's been done to us. First, we're told we have to shelter in place or isolate. Actually, one person actually had the nerve to pull up to my office manager, Mary. She's mowing her lawn on Sunday. And he said, what are you doing? She said, I'm mowing my lawn. He said, you're supposed to be in your house. She said, I am at home. He said, no, you're supposed to be in your house. And then Mary looked at him and said, what are you doing? And he sped away. And I said, Mary, is he joking? And she said, no. So the first thing is isolation. Now we're all told to wear masks, and now we're being taunted and promised and given a false hope in some sort of reopening or rebirth of the economy. Now, there's a video out titled The Characteristics of an Initiation Ritual. Truth Stream, I think, is the name of the channel. It's very much worth the watch. It's about 10 minutes, and I guarantee you it'll open your eyes. But what it's doing is it's showing what's happening in our society today in an esoteric sense. Now, when you enter into the Masonic Lodge, they call it the Blue Lodge, first, second, and third degrees, they put you through an initiation ritual. They isolate you, put a mask over your head, and then they pull it off, symbolic of the new birth, the rebirth. And that's exactly what they're imposing upon us right now. They have isolated us with the stay-at-home orders. Then they give us these mask mandates. We have to be muzzied, so to speak. And what that does is that distances you from others. It covers your ego, okay, and it forces you into this contemplation. And then they're going to have a reopening plan for America. That's an occult teaching in a typical initiation ritual. Isolation, the wearing of a mask to detach one from self and others, and then a rebirth. And it's being played on a global, international scale that I could never have imagined. Folks, we need to wake up, and we need to wake up now. It really is ugly. The other side of this plan is ugly. Now, before we jump in to the spiritual element to this message, what I'd like to do is play a short little clip. So it's not quite that short. It's about 3 minutes, but it's comical. Some woman on Facebook, and I understand this video went viral, is just talking about all the contradictions you hear in this propaganda blitz on the plandemic. Just listen to it. These are all the kind of quotes you're hearing from the mainstream media, and they're so contradictory.
Yeah, I really don't understand why everybody isn't following the same rules right now. They're very clear. So let's take a minute and let's go over them again. First, you must not leave the house for any reason, unless, of course, you have a reason, and then you may leave the house. All stores are closed except those that are open. And all stores must close unless, of course, they need to stay open. This virus is deadly, but don't be afraid of it. It can only kill people who are vulnerable and also those who are not vulnerable. We should stay locked down until the virus stops infecting people. And it will only stop infecting people if enough of us get infected that we build immunity. So it is very important that we get infected and also do not get infected. You should not go to the doctor's office or the hospital unless you have to go there. Unless, of course, you are too sick to go there. This virus has no effect on children except for those children in which it affects. The virus remains active on different surfaces for 2 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours. But in most cases, it's days and not hours, and it needs a damp environment or a cold environment that is warm and dry in the air, unless the air is plastic. Schools are closed, so you need to homeschool your children unless you can send them to school because you are not home. If you are at home, you can school your children using various portals and online classrooms unless you have poor internet, more than one child, only one computer, or you are working from home. Baking cakes can be considered math, science, or art. If you are home educating, you can include household chores within their education curriculum. And if you are home educating, you may start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. every day. If you are not home educating children, you may also start drinking at approximately 10 a.m. Masks are useless at protecting you against the virus, but you still need to wear one because it can save lives. And in some cases, it may even be mandatory, but also maybe not. You must not go to work, but you can get another job, at which point you may go to work. Stay home. I don't know how many more celebrities we need to have tell you how important it is to go outside and take care of your mental health. There is no shortage of groceries in the supermarket. There are simply many things missing. You don't need to go buy a bunch of toilet paper, but you should buy some in case you need it. If you are sick, you may go out once you are better, but those in your household, they cannot go out once you are better unless, of course, they need to go out. Animals are not affected by the virus, except for that cat that tested positive in Belgium in February, plus a couple tigers. The number of corona-related deaths will be announced daily, but we don't know how many people are infected because we were only testing those who are almost dead to determine if that's what they will die of. The people who die of corona who are not counted won't or will be counted, but maybe not. To help protect yourself during these times, you should be eating well and exercising, but exercising only eating what you have at home to avoid going to the stores unless you need toilet paper or a fence panel. It's important to get fresh air, but don't go to parks, but do go walk in other places. Just don't sit down unless you are old or pregnant. But if you do sit down, don't sit for too long, unless you are old and you are pregnant, in which case you need to sit down. But if you do sit down, don't eat unless you've had a long walk, which you are allowed to do if you are old or pregnant, except for times in which you aren't. Don't visit old people, but you have a moral obligation to take care of old people and bring them food and medicine. And finally, no businesses will go down due to coronavirus except those businesses that go down due to COVID-19. I hope this cleared up any questions about what we should and should not be doing during this time. Please educate your friends and family with this information so we can remove any and all confusion surrounding this time. Thank you.
You get the point? It's their rules as they play. The big box stores are all open. Staples. We're taking food down to Terry's mom yesterday. Staples is open. Then we go through the next town, and there's a little office supply store, and it's closed. Yet Staples is open. What's up with that? Our local hardware store, closed. The big box stores, Home Depot and Lowe's, where you can buy hardware, are open. What's up with all this, folks? Do you think maybe, just maybe, they're trying to get rid of all the little independent businesses so this becomes a fascistic, state-run, establishment-controlled megastate, the New World Order? Hey, Sister Kathy, thank you for sending us that comic relief. It helped me out. Now what I'd like to get into, spiritual element to this. There is a huge spiritual component to this, and I want to share that. So last week we delved briefly into spiritual slavery, and what I did is I alluded to these eight veils that Harkins talks about, and we learned that the world has a system. But not only does it have a system, folks, it has a prince. We know that prince is the devil. Amen. Then it has a people, purpose, and a philosophy. That philosophy, we call it secular humanism, the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. But, you know, this purpose is to scorn God, to shake an angry fist in the face of Almighty God. And then these people, well, Cooper liked to call them sheeple, and that's exactly what they are. But Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus loves them. So I'd like to conclude now by showing you how to pierce or pull back these eight veils that Don Harkins described. And I'd like to begin by defining a phrase, seeing the light, or as many people have said, I've seen the light. You know, what's that mean? You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. These are all different ways to allude to the pulling back of these veils, or the tearing off of these blindfolds we have on our spiritual sight. Now in John chapter 9, Jesus gave sight to a blind man, and we can learn how this spiritual sight pierces these eight veils of Harkins, or these blindfolds that the enemy and the spirit of the age all have on us. You know, next week's message, provided the Lord's willing, I'd like to take us through three steps we all need to take, okay, to overcome this spiritual slavery. And it's a genuine spiritual slavery that we're in, okay? I'd like to just cover those, because right now we're all slaves cast into this land of spiritual darkness. Now, Psalm 88, verse 12 refers to it as the land of forgetfulness. And that's exactly where we're at. Harkins said that all human endeavors are essentially a filtration process. So I'd like to look at this spiritual awakening, or the piercing of these eight veils of Harkins, in that way. Okay, now he said sports is an excellent example in our culture to help us understand this filtration process. He said when we're children, we all play sports, yet we get kicked off of the playground at some point, in our growth and development. Until there's only the pros left who we all watch on television as they get paid megabucks to play games. And we all sit around on Sunday and watch them play games. So bottom line, this select group of people never got kicked off the playground. Think about it. Early in life. Let's talk baseball, for example. Millions of kids, boys and girls alike, play Little League each spring. And many of you listening to this right now probably played Little League or at least T-ball. And then as we grow up, we're continually filtered out. First from the T-ball league to the Little League, then to the high school team, and then in college. And then some more people are filtered out and go on to the farm clubs. And then a few of those make it to the majors. Until at the end of the season, in the fall, about 50 guys go to the World Series each and every October. But praise the Lord, I've seen the light. Okay? So it's a filtering process. And likewise, our spiritual awakening can be viewed in that same way. So let's use this idea, this filtering process, okay, and start piercing these veils. Amen? To get started, I'm going to be very generous, and I'm going to say that every time a veil's pierced, 1 in 10 people make it through this process. And the 90%, or the 9 out of 10, remain trapped behind that veil and never wake up. And that select group of people move through to the next veil. And I think I'm being generous when I say that. But you'll see as we move on, okay? In reality, it's probably a lot lower than 10%. So let's begin with 7 billion people here on planet Earth. Most of them live and die without ever having getting beyond just the basic activities in life, what it takes to survive. You know, food, clothing, shelter. They're essentially in this mode known as subsistence living. And the Bible alludes to that in Psalm 90, verse 10, which reads, "The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." So now let's use this baseball filtering analogy that I just described and say that 90% of all humanity continue to live and die this way in labor and sorrow without ever having pierced this first veil. That means that 10% of us, or about 700 million people around the entire world, look up enough, have enough time, enough resources to pierce that first veil and discover the world of politics. So they'll vote, become politically active, they have an opinion, or at least they'll parrot the red or blue lines from the cable news propaganda network. And by the way, this involves a disproportionate amount of people in the Western cultures, because in Africa and Asia, you have people subsistence living. But beware, okay, that you'll hear these people parrot. They're not their own. They're not enlightened ideas. They're from the spirit of the world, and they come to them through propaganda that we covered a week or two ago. It's a term referred to as Zeitgeist, or the spirit of the age, and it's all around us. And remember, we also know who's behind this system or the spirit of the age, and it's none other than Lucifer himself. But hold on there, because I'm getting ahead of myself with these veils. So these politically active people that Bill Cooper used to call sheeple, they tend to accept whatever the government officials, the network talking heads, the experts like the COVID task force tell us as truly the voice of authority when it's hardly the truth. Can't you see that happening today with this pandemic, this scamdemic, this coronavirus hoax? Folks, we're all being lied to about this virus. That's why I call it a scamdemic, a plandemic, the heist, the coronavirus heist. They're advancing so much here that's contrary to what we believe, person. You probably have them in your family, or maybe you're actually one of them. Now, before you tune me out, hold on, folks. Just keep listening, okay? Please listen. I know everybody's really polarized over this and politics in general right now. You maybe cheer for the red team, or you cheer for the blue team, or your favorite's Fox News, or you just love MSNBC and CNN. But stay with me, okay? Just please stay with me. This is all planned opposition. You know what I mean? Just think about it, okay? They even use team colors, the red and the blue states, the R's and the D's, you know, the Republicrats and the Democrats, you know. Really, folks? Come on, please, give me a break. This is so sophomoric. It's BS. It's so sickening, it makes me want to puke. It really does, and I'm sorry for being so graphic, but it does. And, you know, this con all started back in the 2000 election with Tim Russert. It was during the presidential election. He was very clever because he assigned Redkins, yet red's the color for socialism. And the Marxists and the socialists have always used red as their color, and blue was reserved for the conservatives. Yet he reversed the colors, and it stuck. I'm telling you, it's a tangled web we weave. And by the way, did you know that May 1st is the Communists' Day? May Day? Used to be Labor Day until the establishment moved that to September. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And the Bible also teaches out of Proverbs 11, verse 10, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. And then in Proverbs 28, 12, so there's great elation when the righteous triumph, yet men go into hiding when the wicked rise to power. And that's what's happening right now. Ecclesiastes 10:6, listen to this. A wicked man ruling over a helpless people is like a roaring lion or a charging bear. I'm sorry, that was Proverbs 28:15. Ecclesiastes 10:6 reads, fools are put in many high positions while the rich occupy the low ones. Isn't that the truth? And yet I didn't find anything in all the scriptures when I was searching about politics that had anything to do about the reds and the blues. So that's all man-made. It's part of our carnal nature while we're still in bondage, when we still have these veils over our eyes. So 90% of the people stay in this group, 90% that remain, you know. So there's like 630 million people around the world that stay stuck in this sophomoric game of the reds versus the blues, or pick your flavor in whatever country you live in, okay? That leaves about 10% or 70 million who pierce this second veil and start to explore the world of history. And they see the relationship between man and government, the meaning of self-government, the different terms of government and economics. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 reads, and he, that's God, changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them with no understanding. So in this scripture, and also in Daniel 4:17 and Proverbs 8:15, we hear the flavor or the spirit of what the founders understood in their concept of natural law, or the truth that God is in control. You know, history, his story, it's his story, folks. Now, again, assume that 90% of these people, okay, or 63 million people, stay here without ever piercing third veil. So about 7 million people make it through to the third veil. And there they start to see that the resources of the world, including people, which are referred to in corporate America as human resources, that's an appalling term. I don't use it in our company. They're people, they're personnel. They come to us willingly and exchange their labor for a compensation which needs to be fair and safe and good, and we all prosper. Yet only about 7 million people realize that all the resources of the world, including people, are controlled by these extremely wealthy people and powerful families like Bill Gates. They take their assets and they put them into trusts. And through modern and, should I say, legal extortion and bribery methods, and some are on the edge, look at the Clinton Foundation, yet they always seem to get away like they wear Teflon or something, you know, nothing sticks. So these foundations are used to shape and move economies, world politics, geopolitical maneuverings, okay? And behind it, you have the two big to fail banks, including the private, and I'm going to say it again, the private Federal Reserve. There's nothing federal about it, and there are no reserves. All they do is print paper. And we haven't seen that fallout yet, folks. So this establishment has 13 families, and you have some that come in and go. You have Bill Gates, he's in now. You have George Soros, he's in now. You know, you have these people that come and go. But behind them, you have the Astors, the Bundys, the Collins, the DuPonts, the Freemans, the Kennedys, the Lees in China, the Onassis family, the Reynolds, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Russells, the Van Dynes over in Europe. And let's not forget the Merivians. I can't say it. Excuse me. So you have these rich families that have been around for years, generations, millennia. And then these others come and go, like George Soros, Bill Gates. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 2, and they have exceeding many flocks and herds. Proverbs 10:15 says, his wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Proverbs 18:11, listen to this. Their own conceit is as a high wall. And then the Lord uses Jeremiah 9:23 to warn that the rich man should not glory in his riches. Listen to James 1:11. Just as the heat of the burning sun withers the grass and flowers, so shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Yet sadly, 9 out of 10 people don't understand this. That's why you see the Gates and the Soroses come and go. These other families, these 13 families, have a workaround to that. Okay? Yet sadly, 9 out of 10 of these 7 million people never understand that behind this, there's a fourth veil. Behind it, you have these secret societies. They never understand that there's this group called the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and so many other secret societies. And sometimes they appear like they're in opposition to each other. Yet they're all being driven by that spirit of the age. They all have that prince of this world moving them on. Sometimes in terms of self-righteousness, other times in downright darkness. But that's two sides of the same coin. That's the mystery of iniquity. And praise the Lord, though, I've seen the light. So these secret societies, they use symbols. I mentioned the three steps they're putting us all through right now with the isolation or the shelter-in-place orders, the masks, and then the reopening of the economy. They use symbols and perform ceremonies to perpetuate these generational transfers of both material wealth and their arcane occultic knowledge as Hawkins refers to it. And this wealth and this occult knowledge keeps the common people in political, economic, and spiritual bondage by these 13 occult old bloodline families that I just mentioned. They're the true blue bloods. And if you don't believe in this concept of blue blood, study the Rh positive and Rh negative issue, and you'll see what I mean by the term blue blood. And if you'd like more info on that, send me an email at kdbeard19@gmail.com. So the Bible calls this a conspiracy, and the King James uses the term conspiracy 10 times. King David's own son, Absalom, conspired against King David. Then several other kings conspired against other kings, and even their own sons. The point here is that conspiracy is nothing new. It isn't. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 25 says, there is a conspiracy in her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravaging the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. And listen to Acts 23:13, where St. Luke writes, and they, that's the Sanhedrin, were more than 40, which had made this conspiracy against Paul. So why are we shocked when somebody says there's a conspiracy behind this COVID-19? That's Lucifer's world system and methodology, global conspiracy, enslaving of the masses. Remember, the CIA is who demonized this whole term conspiracy with the JFK assassination and the Warren Commission report. People were really questioning the magic bullet and all that. So the CIA had to control information and marginalize people that were onto the truth. So they coined this phrase conspiracy theory. This is all documented. And by the way, the Strong's Dictionary even defines conspiracy as a swearing together, a plot. So why is it so difficult to believe that powerful people plot? They do. And they have these secret societies where they swear together. They do. I have the books here on my shelf. It's taken 30 years to acquire these. It's all there. Yet 90% of these people will live and die without going through to the fifth veil. So there's about 70,000 people that pierce this veil and understand that behind these secret societies, there's technologies more advanced than what we know about. It's being used for surveillance. It's being used for communications, transportation, defense. In fact, there's even talk that during the Civil War, there was actually radio because of some things that happened in the markets around the world during the war between the states. And there's no way that information could have traveled fast without some sort of radio signal. But we all think that Marconi developed it decades later. That's what I mean by advanced technology. So what would advanced technologies be today? Well, we have Tesla's electromagnetic technologies. One of them is called HARP. There's ELF, 5G. Then there's the soft technologies like the mind control theories that Edward Bernays developed. You know, Freud's nephew, we talked about that last week or a few weeks ago. And then there's these perfected methodologies of Bernays that the Tavistock Institute, I guess you could say formalized. And now we see it all the way through to the cable news networks, Hollywood. Remember that documentary I recommended you watch, Out of the Shadows? The CIA has an office in Hollywood. The CIA was actually in Anderson Cooper's history. He was an intern for the CIA. When people ask him about it, he walks away from them. And there's all sorts of indications that there were pretty advanced technologies, even in the Bible. 2 Samuel 22, verses 10 and 12, and Psalm 18, verses 9 and 11, talk about how God bowed the heavens and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him. That sounds like some sort of warpage of time and space. And folks, remember, in Romans chapter 12, I talked about this a week or two ago, Paul tells us, he beseeches us to no longer conform our minds to this world, but to renew our minds so that we may know God's good, his perfect and acceptable will. So this implies that the world is controlling our mind. Then in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5, St. Paul warns us of strongholds that come between us and knowing God. And then he goes on to say we are to take every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ. So this war, this slavery, it's happening in our mind. It's a war that's all out. It's for our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. But the enemy uses the playground of our mind to ensnare us. And his chief weapon is fear. So 90% of these people live and die here, but never go through to the sixth veil, okay? And that's spiritual warfare. Now, Harkins referred to it as dragons and lizards and aliens. And these are fictional monsters, okay? And they're in child's books, children's books, and sci-fi movies. I believe they're fallen angels, and we know about that because the Bible tells us about fallen angels. And demons, you know, it talks about the sons of God marrying the women of men, daughters of man, and having offspring, Nephilim, men of renown, the Nakash, okay? We have the Nakash in Genesis 3, the serpent, okay, who beguiled Eve in the garden. Yet so many people think it was a snake. It's not. And then I alluded to the Nephilim of Genesis 6, the fallen angels, you know. Proverbs 6:12 talks about the sons of Belial, okay? Wicked men who crept in unawares to our churches and perverted the gospel. Read Jude verse 4. But praise the Lord, I've seen the light. And there's an old message in the archives, SDG 69, if you want to learn more about that. And then next week, like I said, we're going to talk about the three things we need to do to receive spiritual light. And I'll tie it in, provided the Lord's willing, I'll tie it into this coronavirus hoax, okay? Reuben and Jubilees that talk about they change themselves into the shape of men. So these demons, these fallen angels, they're among us. And it's a spiritual war we fight. And the angels of the Lord descended upon the earth, those who were named watchers. And then there's another extra biblical book called the Testament of Amram. It's from the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it says their looks were frightening, like those of a viper. And the Muslims, they call them the jinn or the reptilians. And then the ancient writings of the Egyptians, they said they move among us visible as men, but serpent-headed when the glamour was lifted. So they can put a veil over themselves, a skin of flesh, so to speak. And then how about this amazing warning that came right out of the consecrated, canonical, holy scriptures of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. I know some people may be hearing all those other quotes I read and say, well, there's nothing in the Bible to support that. Yes, there is. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15 tells us that Satan himself and his ministers of righteousness can transform themselves into angels of light, basically shape-shifting, folks. Now, praise the Lord, I've seen the light. Can you see it? Then again, 90% of the people in this group, they live and die without ever piercing that seventh veil. So what's behind the seventh veil? Well, there you can learn that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Triune in nature with a body, a soul, and a spirit, and a soul being different than a spirit. I told you about that some a few weeks ago. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your spirit is the lamp of the Lord, which needs oil, the Holy Spirit, to give light to your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And when you're functioning with unction, which that is, you're unstoppable. So our bodies are the vessels or hosts for our soul and our spirit. And our soul, like I said, is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our spirits are those lamps that need Holy Spirit light so that we can have guidance given to our minds, our wills, and our emotions. And the Bible teaches all of this, folks. But there's seminaries out there today that deny we're triune in nature. They preach and teach a dichotomistic view, okay, that a soul and a spirit are the same thing. And they're not. All you got to do is read the Bible. Listen to message number 58, SDG 58, Function with Unction, and you'll learn about this in great detail. Then there's that eighth veil that none of us truly see through clearly until we be like him. Okay? And that's piercing the veil and understanding who we are in Jesus Christ. Now, we get indications of that through the Bible, but until we're made perfect as he is perfect, until we're glorified, all we're going to know for sure is that we're joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:17. Literally partakers in his divine nature, not divine in nature, but partakers in his divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. When we let this mind be in us, that's the mind of Christ, Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. So what I'm stressing to you, folks, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly our only answer to piercing these veils. Now, if Harkin's math is correct, there's only about 70,000 people on this entire planet who have pierced through. And that leads to an incredible irony, folks, because those stuck behind the first five or six veils have no choice but to view us, people who have awakened to the truth, people who have seen the light, praise the Lord, not by anything I've done other than pressing forward, eyes to the cross, world behind me. You know, that type of thing. They think we're insane. Think about it. And here's how Harkins put it, and I'm going to quote this, okay? With each veil pierced, exponentially shrinking numbers of an increasingly enlightened people are deemed insane by exponentially increasing masses of decreasingly enlightened people. Unquote. End quote. That's ironic, isn't it? They think we're crazy. Then adding to this irony, okay, the harder a sixth or better veiler tries to explain what he's able to see to those who can't see, the more insane he appears to them. Is this making sense? But praise the Lord, okay, praise Jesus. I've seen the light. So in truth, our enemy is the prince of this world himself, none other than Lucifer. And yet the great majority of people on this planet are simply his tools, his minion. Those behind the second veil, the gullible, ignorant voters, justify their actions and the actions of the politicians. And they turn a blind eye as Gates with his plandemic phenomenal vaccine solutions going to just kill so many people off in these petrodollar wars in foreign lands is nothing but cannon fodder and profits for the big pharma. And together, these two groups form the brown shirts of the power elite, who has them all believing that their leaders are truly concerned about matters of national security and their health, and their nation is truly worth dying for. But praise the Lord, I've seen the light. Have you seen it, folks? Now, for those who have pierced veils 3 through 6, they become an ever-increasing liability to the enemy. And that's because our decreasing ability to be used as tools, families, to preserve their power and wealth, we're not easily manipulated anymore. So what do they start to do? Well, they're using the big media giants now, Google and Twitter and Facebook, to suppress the truth. So these usually enlightened people end up sacrificing relationships with their friends and the family. Folks, if you're in this truth movement, you know what I'm talking about. Even their careers get compromised, as do their personal freedoms, as they pierce veil upon veil, trying to wake others up. In short, Jesus said, we're hated by the world as he was hated. And that's exactly what happens as you pierce the veils. And if you go on this journey, folks, you're going to see that happens. And that happens both spiritually and physically, with spiritual sight and physical sight, with spiritual light and physical light. Both are needed to see. So like I said, provided the Lord's willing, we're going to look at this miracle of the blind man next week and how Jesus gave sight to him in John chapter 9. After we look at some more of this coronavirus news and the coronavirus hoax, there's a miracle here that I want to share with you. Instructions on how the Holy Spirit helps you pierce these 8 veils, one at a time, but only for those who repent and trust, and then trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ as not only their Savior, but as their Lord. So today I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, help us all to understand how deep and how pervasive the stranglehold by the enemy, Lucifer himself, truly is upon this world, and how crucial it is to no longer conform our minds to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove, God, your good, your perfect, your acceptable will. Oh, dear God, please open our eyes. Folks, just remember, I love y'all. I'll be back next week with another message, provided the Lord's will. And we're going to see how we can truly have our spiritual sight returned to us by the grace of God. So right now, just remember, you're no longer a slave to sin or a slave to fear. I love y'all.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemy, till all my fear have come. I'm no longer. I am a child of God. soul.